Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your chance to win $25 to Apex Ale Works. It is our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening, and we make it very, very simple to win. Even though Ryan is gone for the next month out on paternity leave.
Right.
Congratulations, he and his wife. Young little baby daughter now to add to the boys. And Ryan's in trouble. He doesn't know it yet, but we know as fathers of daughters.
Oh, he's screwed.
He's screwed. He's in full denial of that, but he's off for the next month. Helping, quote-unquote, helping.
Right. What is he actually going to do?
I don't know. We should probably check in a couple weeks. And
like, we're done here at 10 o'clock in the morning. He could get home by noon and help the rest of the day.
Quote-unquote, helping.
Right.
So anyway, Kramer's here, and he's going to play this drop.
Oh!
I almost need the rest of the song now. But the next time you hear that, be caller number.
Let's go with caller number 7 today. Caller number 7.
To 913-576-7610. And the next time you hear that, you win $25 to Apex Ale Works. The old be careful what you wish for.
Clearance. Oh. But once we get beyond the line of scrimmage, now once the football's in the air, but any contact now, if an official deems it to be big enough, can be a foul.
So let me ask you then, if that ball isn't in the air, and it looks like it is on this one, if that ball's not in the air, you could still hit him on the way by, and it's not defensive pass interference.
Here you go. It's taking a long time.
That's a review. Pass interference. Defense number 22. The ball is placed at the 3-yard line. It'll be an automatic first down for Carolina.
The call on CBS. Carolina against? Wait for it.
New Orleans.
The Saints.
Yeah, how about that? The Saints, who made this rule go in place.
Sean Payton stunk it up, and guess what? Didn't get one yesterday.
No, he got one against him. I think, the fifth or sixth one all season long that has been reversed. And it was just kind of a crossing route over the center down near the goal line. And the Saints player touched the Panther wide receiver, yes. But in this day and age where challenges are being issued and reversals aren't happening, you know, you just assume that that was going to be a call that wasn't reversed. But I think ultimately, and this is, let me put my hat on here for a second. All year long, they've not reversed these calls kind of in protest. I think everybody is in agreement, right? Wouldn't you say? Like, everybody is quietly agreeing that the referees are protesting, right? So here's an opportunity that they had to take the team that basically called out all the officials, Josh, put all these officials on watch, caused all this consternation and scrutiny with the referees. And now the referees had an opportunity to screw the Saints back. And that's exactly what they did yesterday. So Ron Rivera throws that challenge flag, and they go, oh, you guys who wanted this in here. You're the ones who put us on watch. You're the ones who have caused everybody to pay more attention to us than ever before and scrutinize every single call we make. Screw you. This one's going against you. And that's exactly what the referees did yesterday. They went against the New Orleans Saints, I think partially in a small percentage chance out of spite.
You think it's bigger? Do you? I mean, the conspiracy that's been underway, which was they're not doing it just because they're not doing it,
right?
Regardless if the calls are right or wrong, they're just not overturning these,
right?
I think totally factored into this one.
Oh,
we're gonna do the reverse. Guess what? Watch this. Watch this, Sean Payton.
What if it wasn't against the Saints though? What if it was the Packers taking on the Redskins or something like that? Do you think that call is then overturned in reverse?
No.
You don't.
No, I think this was a straight
so
to Sean Payton.
Your tinfoil cap is a lot tighter than mine is on this one, because I think there's part of it, but you're like, oh, no.
No, I mean, the officials have shown it. They did not appreciate the fact that this came up this year.
Correct.
They are personally offended that this came up this year, and they're getting with it. They've been protesting all year. So they get an opportunity to go, hey, Sean, watch this.
Right.
Sean Payton says it wasn't. He says New York's best game.
It wasn't our best game, and by far it wasn't their best game, and quite honestly, it wasn't New York's best game, and so it is what it is. You know, I think look, I'm not going to get into it on the replay relative to the fouls, the change that took place in the offseason, but sitting in on every one of those meetings, I don't know that it's exactly what we discussed, you know, where we are today with it. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not, but we've got to be able to adjust to it. Before the game even begins, you already know how that's trending. You know, you understand? And
yes,
I mean,
I do.
You take shoot Jared's big play in the seam. But anyway, it is what it is.
You already know how this is trending.
Yeah, very aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like the fact that you generated this new rule.
That's they don't what. Like you, coach.
Yeah.
And so they had an opportunity to get back at you.
They got you.
They got you.
They got you.
Got back at him. I am not surprised.
No.
I'm not surprised.
No.
I am not surprised at all.
I'm surprised they didn't just wait till the playoffs to try to get him.
To try to get him. But
maybe they got another.
But there was the opportunity. There was the opportunity. And we have shown that this rule this year.
It's a joke.
Is a joke.
Yes.
And it's not being called properly by the referees. Like, they are acting like petulant children over this rule, because there have been so many that should have been reversed that haven't been reversed. And then the one that was like a ticky-tack, whatever, don't need to reverse it. But because it's the Saints, you reverse it. That shows you where the referees are. And you know they've sat around and had cocktails, like old fashions at nice hotels with those big ice balls in it, and go, you know, we get a chance to get Sean Payton, we're going to, and they probably all put like money into the kitty, you know. All right, everybody put in $100.
Who gets
Sean Payton?
Someone
gets the
won
kitty.
A big bet today. Yeah. Yeah. There's a little text exchange going on between all of them. Ha 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 ha.
This so-and-so, guy's crew won.
Yeah,
yay!
So-and-so's crew won.
Yeah.
Got the pot. Yeah. That's for sure. I know this has happened.
Yes.
So, nice job, Sean.
Because they're men, and we're men, and we know how stupid we are, right?
and petty, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, and
absolutely.
Petty. You better believe it.
Tim and Lee Summit, the winner of this hour, $25 to Apex Aleworks, just for listening. As always, thank you. Bob told you so. He'll explain. Well, look around the rest of the NFL as well. The Raiders raided it. History for a running back. And, of course, how drunk was Merrill? Sproles in the backfield next.
Fesco in the morning.
Win, share one. Certainly, share one.
How drunk was Merrill?
Take over, Monty. I'm in the bag.
It's time to find out the best highlights from around the league.
All the way for a Kansas City touchdown.
We present Sproles in the Backfield.
Sproles in the Backfield.
How drunk was Merrill? I listened to an entire quarter of Philly football yesterday.
It's gotten down to a quarter now. Earlier, it was a whole half.
No, I didn't get it. It was like 40 minutes. So it was like the first quarter into the second quarter.
Okay. All right.
So it was like not quite a quarter and a half before I had to get out of the car.
Long enough, though.
It was outstanding. Yeah, it was tremendous. Him, like, selling things on air, fantastic. Like, when they give him a commercial to read on it, oh, yeah. My goodness, it's terrific. So do yourself a favor if you're able to catch other broadcasts. Catch that Phillies one. But first off, Bob told you so. He predicted this one the entire way.
Yeah, I've been saying for the last 2 weeks they're going to go to New Jersey and lose that game to the Jets with the cross-country travel and all. And by the time they get here to Kansas City, which is why we've seen this game hyped up, you know, this week, because they know next week there's not going to be a lot of hype for the game from a national level, because the Raiders are going to go out to New Jersey and they're going to lose that game at the Meadowlands.
There you go. You called it. I don't know if you called it like this.
Darnold in the shotgun takes the snap. And Darnold on a keeper up the middle. He's at the goal line. And he's in for a Jet touchdown. Sam Darnold. A little zone read quarterback keeper.
That's right. Jets radio network. Darnold with a touchdown run. Two touchdown passes. And then the Jets doing it with defense as well.
First and 10 Raiders, back to throw. Carr throws one over the middle. It's tipped up in the air and picked off by Poole. And he's going to go into the end zone for a touchdown. Are you kidding me? Brian Poole, pick six off the deflected pass from Derek Carr. The Jet defense scores.
That was an incredible touchdown by the Jets there, because that looked like one that was about to hit the ground and... boom, the Jets are in the end zone for a touchdown. And at that point, there was no stopping the runaway train that was the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
That's when I officially checked out, was right when that happened. Like, yep, nothing's going right.
No.
I'm done.
That's when about the time they pulled the quarterback, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Then Glennon came in and fumbled like three snaps.
Glennon was
I
can't even say anything that's legal. Glennon was that bad.
Yeah.
But
34-3.
Yeah, the game was over early. My friend Paul Turek's mom, Nina, texted me when they went up 10-3. She's like, this thing's over. You called it. I'm like, well, it's early yet on this one. But, yeah, it was over at that point in time.
He didn't have a big game, but he had a scoreboard-type game. Frank Gore.
Physical runs. Gore here. Gore takes it down to the 41. He has just run into NFL history. A gain of 6 for Frank Gore. He is the third all-time leading rusher in pro football history. Save that ball. Passing the great Barry Sanders.
Kevin Harlan on CBS. Frank Gore had just 65 yards. He wasn't even their leading rusher in the Buffalo win over Denver 20-3, but he moves past Barry Sanders, third all-time in the NFL rushing list.
That's bizarre. I would never have come up with that name. If you said who's the third leading rusher in NFL history, I would have said, well, you got Emmitt, you got Walter, you got Barry Sanders, you got you would have run through a litany of running backs before Frank Gore's name would have even have been mentioned. And obviously he hasn't had a ton of postseason success, so we know that. But he's had a career that's been basically anonymous, I feel like.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he had a bunch of good years with a bunch of teams. You're like, oh, yeah, Frank Gore. But he's one of those you're like, oh, yeah, Frank Gore. And you even think back to, like, the knee injuries before it ever got started.
Correct.
Like, it's probably fortunate to have certainly the length of career that he's had.
Yeah.
But to have 15,289 yards.
That's insane.
Hasn't he been in the league for, like, 30 years now?
Yeah.
But think about it. Yeah, when you're running through top five running backs of all time, like later on in 5 years, you will not remember Frank Gore.
You'll not put him on the
list.
No,
you won't. His name will not be synonymous with that. He's in between Walter Payton and Barry Sanders.
Right. I mean, you would think Marcus
Pretty
Allen,
good company.
Priest Holmes. I mean, there's been some really Terrell Davis, like Hall of Fame style running backs on that list before you would even come close to saying Frank Gore.
Man, I'm blessed. Hard work. Thanks to that man up above, man, because I've been through so much, you know, in my career, you know, from college, you know, even when I got to the NFL, man. I'm happy to be on a team that fit my style of play, physical, tough, and I'm just happy, man. I'm happy.
He's pretty anonymous, like the Buffalo Bills, who are also 8-3.
8-3, and you know nothing about the Buffalo Bills, right? Name something about the Buffalo Bills, other than their fans jumping on fire tables.
OJ.
OJ, yeah. Wow. That's where
you went? Yeah, I went there. I did.
Say something about Buffalo, and he goes, OJ. not even Jim Kelly. Bruce Smith.
Thurman Thomas.
Andre. Lofton.
Andre Reed.
Who was Andre? Well, there was our Lofton. James Lofton.
Yes.
Yeah.
You totally went straight different. To OJ.
You went OJ, not Marv Levy.
Probably the most recent Bills jersey I've seen.
Well, that is the truth.
Yeah.
Steelers
and Bengals with one ridiculous stiff arm.
Ever since that play, and now it's starting to pay off for them. All right, Hodges looking deep again. Washington's open. Washington has it. One man to beat. Washington shoves one down. Touchdown. Oh, what a play. 79 yards.
That was the TV call at CBS.
The James Washington stiff arm was
pushes one down.
Like, oh, my God.
B.W. Webb, apparently, is the name of this defensive back.
B.W. Webb?
Now, he did, like, trip a little bit, but, man, he erased you from the play with his stiff arm.
Yeah. It was like that defensive back taking out Cam Irving a couple of weeks ago.
And Devlin Hodges, excuse me. I want to call him Delvin. I don't know why. Devlin Hodges throwing for a touchdown. He was their leading passer yesterday for the Steelers at a 16-10 win over
Duck.
The Bengals.
They call him Duck. Devlin Duck Hodges from the Hodges Duck family.
How good a job is their coach doing, by the way?
The Bengals? Not good.
No, the Steelers.
Oh, he's coach of the year.
Just to be 6-5.
Mike Tomlin's coach of the year. Like, we can give coach of the year to Bill Belichick, or you can give coach of the year to John Harbaugh, or you can give coach of the year to Kyle Shanahan. What is going on in Pittsburgh right now. They are currently the sixth seed when it comes to the playoff seeding in the AFC. And they were playing a third-string quarterback yesterday. They lost Ben Roethlisberger. Mason Rudolph stunk. They pulled him. They put the Duck Dynasty kid in. And they win games. And right now, if the season were to end today, Pittsburgh would be in the playoffs. And they lost Antonio Brown. They lost Le'Veon Bell. Mike Tomlin is coach of the year, and it's not even close.
So Roethlisberger is a system quarterback, right?
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Yes, that is indeed
correct. They'd be a lot better with Roethlisberger. But right now, man, if the season were to end today, I'm giving Mike Tomlin my coach of the year. It's not. There's not even an argument, in my opinion.
Pats, another win. They get their 10th, the record 17th straight season now with 10 or more wins. They beat Dallas 13-9.
Brady takes the snap. Backs up, looking left. Back shoulder fade for Harry in the end zone. Caught it! Touchdown, Patriots!
Patriots Radio Network on the call. N'Keal Harry with the touchdown reception. Just put a guy out there. Doesn't matter. It's Tom Brady.
But they still need help.
It's Tom Brady. They don't need help in Foxborough. They don't need help in Foxborough. Jerry Jones even knows it.
I think you're going to get out, Coach, when you come to during this era, when you come into New England. I do. I think you are. And I give him his, not due there, but it's just what you're dealing with. But my point is, don't get yourself in a spot to where you have to come up here and beat him and beat them and beat them on a day like today.
So let me get this straight. You want to go there with nothing on the line.
You don't want to go there is what he's getting at.
Yeah, you just don't want to go there. And if you go there, there better not be anything you're trying to, like, actually accomplish, because forget it.
Well, and then you had the phantom penalties again yesterday. Oh, two tripping penalties.
Tripping penalties. Gross.
That Fredrickson one, man, late in the game where it's 3rd and 1. They convert on a first down, and they're moving the ball down the field, and all of a sudden a flag gets thrown out.
They're good, and they get the breaks.
And then it's 3rd and 11, and then they don't get it, and then it's 4th and something, and they don't get it, and the game is over.
Patriots move to 10 wins. Now a record 17th straight season. And finally, how drunk was Merrill?
Wentz takes the snap. He's looking. He fires. Complete. Touchdown. He's got Ertz. 19 seconds left.
He was ready to go. That's
he
it.
Was done.
That's done.
That Roll up this painful. Party.
He's got Ertz.
Yeah. You ever have Ertz before?
I've never
it's
had
not
Ertz
good.
Before.
It is not good to have, man. It affects the toe.
He was drunk early and then was sobering up.
Yeah.
And then it was like
drive home.
Fourth quarter touchdown. Like, who cares?
Seahawks doesn't run by his house.
Beat the Eagles 17-9. The good news is, even though Sproles is gone, and this segment named after Merrill's call of Sproles in the backfield, Jay Ajayi is still there. And if you want some good ramblings of Merrill, listen for him calling Jay Ajayi. But Seattle with the win, they move to a 9-2. And Philadelphia, once thought to be a Super Bowl team out of the NFC, at 5-6. That is today's edition of Sproles in the Backfield. Coming up, the Raiders losing is actually a bad thing for the game this weekend. We'll tell you why next.
Fesco in the morning.
Not everything was better back in my day. I'm not one that says everything was
not
better
everything,
back in my day.
Not everything, no.
But
there's been a lot of advancements.
Raiders Chiefs was better back in my day, right? We can all acknowledge it. Raiders Chiefs was better.
Much better.
Back in the grainy video, NFL films, everything was cold and frosty and a lot of spit, drool, and blood and guts.
Knuckles were beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the same. It's not the same vibe. They tried to force feed it along to us for a little while. Now they don't even try. Like, Andy's like, we look forward to the challenge of facing the Raiders. And,
right.
The Raiders are a good football team. They're well coached, offensive and special teams. We were well aware of the rivalry with the Raiders. Time's yours.
Right.
That's where it's come to. And there isn't a lot that says it warrants any more than that, really.
Let me stop you there for a second, though. When would you say the heyday of the Raiders-Chiefs rivalry was? Was it in the beginning where, like, there were fisticuffs out on the field where dudes were punching each other? Or was it the Marty Carl
days, I think.
I think that was the heyday,
I think that
too.
Was the heyday because it was personal.
Yeah.
It was Carl and
Al
and
Davis.
The Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
were...
Which is really funny because Lamar owned the team, but like Carl did all the dirty work.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. No, it was great then. Yeah.
And we'll hear from Carl this week in our 60th anniversary interview on Wednesday. Perfect for Raider week to hear from Carl Peterson this week, Wednesday at 9:15 here on 610 Sports Radio. But I think, to me, that was the heyday of this rivalry. And it even spilled over into when Vermeil was the coach here because Carl was still around. Like, he truly hated the Oakland Raiders. And I don't know if teams genuinely hate each other anymore like they did back then. You know, like there was hatred back then. I think now we don't see the hatred that gets built up between NFL teams like we did have back
Browns
then.
Steelers got a shot at it.
Browns and Steelers has a really good shot. And that's why I'm excited about that game on Sunday, because I just feel like sit back, grab a cocktail, and watch the Steelers and Browns early before the Chiefs and Raiders come on later on that afternoon, because I have a feeling there's going to be some serious fireworks in that Steelers-Browns game because it's happening 17 days removed.
You're not going to want to watch pregame for that?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, if they're not on the field chest-to-chest, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
I want one of those videos.
You want one of those?
I want that,
both
yes.
benches empty and yes. coaches are separating yes. people at like 11:30.
You don't have to take swings. You can make it be a baseball fight. That's fine.
Fine.
But...
You want the tone set early
yes.
on that one.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. But that's kind of what I want. Like, it's 17 days removed from when Mason Rudolph got jacked in the head with a helmet and it was the brouhaha that we saw. We're 17 days later, and here we go again. So, yeah, there's going to be some fireworks in that one. But I want it to get back to where the rivalry matters. And right now, because of the Raiders, the rivalry really doesn't matter all that much right now. And the Raiders had an opportunity to make the rivalry matter. And what did they do? They did exactly what I said they would do. They overlooked the Jets, and they went out and got mollywopped 34-3 in New Jersey yesterday. It wasn't even a game. They were benching players. They were taking quarterbacks out. It was a terrible performance by the Oakland Raiders. And while I knew it was going to happen, called that it was going to happen, didn't expect it to be like that, part of me is like, I kind of wish the Raiders would have won this thing so that both teams could have been 7-4 and we could have been the epicenter of the universe on Sunday for a big Raider-Chiefs game for the first time, I think, in many, many years. You know, save the Thursday night one where Derek Carr threw the ball and it hit the wires. Remember that a couple of years ago? And that happened. Like, save that game.
Kramer, our resident Raider fan, is in producing the show today. You're just sitting over there, like, just shaking your head. Like, just like, oh, man, you had to bring that one
but,
up.
But, I mean, but save that game, right?
I kind of forgot about it, to be honest.
There hasn't been a really good Raider-Chief rivalry game with meaning for both sides in a very, very long time. And part of me was looking forward to that. Like, going in there, the Raiders at 7-4, the Chiefs at 7-4, the Raiders feeling like they could do no wrong, and then just getting put out like a cigarette butt underneath your foot and ground down to the filter and just crushed and thrown away and just deposited in the garbage can and taken all the hopes and dreams of every Raider fan and every Raider and making Christmas miserable because you got stomped on by the Chiefs and end everything.
They come
now,
in here, they
got a chance to do that this weekend, but it would have been cool to just punch them right in the face with the same record.
Well, they come in here at 7-4, tied, chest puffed out, Chiefs fans feeling like you got to defend our honor here.
That's right.
There would be a lot on it.
Singing Karate Kid.
And while I'm fully confident they're winning either way, there would still be that piece in the back of my mind, like, what if they don't?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, can't let this happen.
Right.
We got to defend this thing. Now I feel like, well, this is just the opportunity to put yourself back in the position you should have been from the get-go, which is the division's at a James Washington stiff arm mm-hmm. distance away, and this whole thing is just a formality.
Right.
You have the opportunity to close down the division this weekend, and you should take care of it.
Take care of business.
That's the spot you want to be in ultimately. But yeah, but I wish there was more juice to it. They tried for several years to kind of force it upon us, mm-hmm. but I remember just going out to Arrowhead, and I mean, you felt Raider Week. It meant something.
Mm-hmm.
You felt it. There was a buzz. There was an anger. There was a,
you wanted blood.
Teeth were grinding when you just walked into that facility. And then they kind of tried to force it for a few years. You're like, this isn't the same. I don't know why we're doing this. This feels completely forced. And now you're just going to have just the regular old Andy with maybe an extra sentence about, we know how big Raider Week is.
Right.
That's it. And that's all there is to it. I wish it had more juice to it.
I do too. And I wish it did, because throughout all the games yesterday, we were getting a really big dose of previews for the college games coming up this weekend. And it's the last weekend of college football. Michigan, Ohio State, Auburn, Alabama, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska. You know, you've got some of these big-time college rivalries, Browns and Steelers thrown in there as well. Like, you look at the college slate this week, and every game is some sort of rivalry game. Kansas, Baylor, you know, throughout the record books.
Not everything, yeah.
You know, but just about every game this weekend is a big-time rivalry game, right? And you're like, wow, that's what you want. And we got Chiefs and Raiders, and that's good. But man, the Raiders just continue to not hold up their end of the bargain to make that game even better than it could be. And while winning the game this weekend, I'm calling it Separation Sunday, you win that game, you've got a three-game lead with four games to go.
It's over.
All intents and purposes, it is over. But I would really like to crush the Raiders and knock them down when they're feeling like they're riding high coming in, and then face a real opponent and get housed by the Chiefs like they did it back in week two out in Oakland.
I mean, I was going to be fully confident either way, but at 7-4, there would be a twinkle of doubt. Just a twinkle of doubt, like, ooh.
Because you talk yourself into Josh Jacobs, and they can run the ball well.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be raining on Sunday. Uh-huh.
They're going to want to play a ground game. It's not exactly.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't lend itself to what the Chiefs do. Great. Yeah.
There would be all those things. Now I'm cocky and confident.
Right. Oh, it's they came out as a 10-point favorite last night.
Now it's back to Andy off the bye.
Right.
All those things. Raiders looking miserable.
Right.
Traveling again. Ain't happening.
Not happening. Ain't not happening. A chance. No Ain't chance. Happening. No way.
He's having too much fun to come back. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
So I think division's over. Because the Chiefs are winning Sunday, and
Correct.
The division will be over. Okay, so don't screw that up, because you don't want to have a 2-4 record at home.
No, you don't want to do that.
All bad things. You can't do that. You can't do that to the fan base. You can't drop another home game in front of your home crowd.
Well, not if you want to advance deep into the postseason. You can't be like 500 at
nobody,
home, right?
Nobody will be buying that, right?
And then going into the playoffs and wild card weekend, if you lose four home games, you're thinking, boy, I don't know.
If you fall to 7-5, they get to 7-5, the division's all tied up. That's no good. That's no good. Can't be doing that. I think division's over. They win. And then I'm looking at, okay, is a 2 seed still attainable? And you got to be rooting tonight for the Rams.
Oh, you got to ram it tonight,
right?
Josh.
You got all day and all night.
You got to ram it all day and ram it all night.
Because the Rams host the Ravens tonight. Ravens are 8-2. I need them to get 3 losses somewhere the remaining on their schedule.
And
3 losses.
It's possible.
It is possible. I think the Chiefs lose in Foxborough. I think they can win the rest of them. Go with 5 losses. Okay? So I need a tie with the Ravens. You win the tie, you win the head-to-head. Okay? That's what I'm playing for right now, if that's okay. So I need 3 losses out of the Ravens. One of them, I need it tonight.
If you don't get it tonight, do you still think they can get 3 losses then with 5 to go? Because here's their schedule.
Their schedule's not easy, but I don't know that I see 3 losses if they get past tonight.
I think their schedule's tougher than hell, man. You're at the Rams, then you're home to the 49ers. That's Harbaugh v. Harbaugh. That's a big game. Then you're at Buffalo.
A good cop movie.
Right? Then you've got the Jets. Then you're at the Browns. And then you're home against the Steelers to close out the season. Listen to those games again. None of them are a gimme. The Rams, the Niners, the Bills, the Jets, the Browns, the Steelers. They could lose all 6 of those and finish 8-8. I mean, conceivably, if you want to talk truths here, they could lose all 6.
I think the Jets' false bravado will be done by then. That's December 12th. That's, 3 weeks.
Yeah, and that's
not
a home game.
Not buying that one.
Okay.
I'm not buying it. You're going to... I'm not buying at the Browns.
No.
I'm taking that one. Steelers will be interesting. What are the Steelers going to be by that point
in time? And that's a big rivalry game.
They've been keeping this thing together with Band-Aids and bobby pins and duct tape.
That
and whatever.
May be for the Steelers a win and you're in type of game.
Could be. Could be a huge game. I think the next three are the big important ones. Can they get, you know, can we get some losses out of them between the Rams, Niners, and Bills?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's tough. I think it's going to be tough to get them to five losses.
I think it is too. I think they're the most complete team right now in the AFC. And I've been saying that for the last couple of weeks because you can look at the Chiefs and they got obviously the quarterback, the head coach, really good in the passing game. They don't have much of a running game. Their run defense is suspect. Their pass defense is pretty good. But I wouldn't call the Chiefs the most complete team in the AFC. Then you look at New England. They are the best team right now in the AFC. But I don't know if they're the most complete team in the AFC right now because they can't put up points, Josh, no matter how good Tom Brady has been over the course of his career and how much we value the New England Patriots. They still can't put up points. But that defense, man, that defense gets after it. They can play. They held the number one offense in the NFL yesterday to 3 field goals, did not allow the number one offense a touchdown, and did not allow Amari Cooper to have a reception in yesterday's game. That's how good the New England Patriots are. But offensively, hey, there's a lot to be, you know, desired there. But special teams-wise, they're really good. We saw what they did on the special teams yesterday. Block kick, set them up, boom, touchdown. That to me, is a big thing. They're really good on special teams. And so every team right now has their warts that are, if you look at the top three or four teams in the AFC, and I guess you could say Houston is the third best team in the AFC right now, but I still find them to be incomplete because I don't trust their head coach to put their team in the best position to be successful. And so every team right now has their warts, except for the Baltimore Ravens. Like, I look at that team right now, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head, what's Baltimore's biggest weakness? And I don't know that they have a weakness right now. Their only weakness to me would be, what if Lamar Jackson gets hurt? What happens to that offense if Lamar Jackson gets hurt? But you can say that about any offense right now in the NFL. What if the quarterback gets hurt? So that to me right now is the most complete team in the AFC. It's the Baltimore Ravens, and it is going to be tough for anybody to knock them off. Even the 49ers, which I'm surprised that game wasn't flexed to a later game. 49ers, Ravens at a noon kick. Like, that's a marquee type of game. That's a marquee game. That's a potential Super Bowl game right there. And that game's an easy noontime game on Sunday in Baltimore. So, hey, we'll see, you know, where it all plays out. But I think right now Baltimore is the most complete team in the AFC.
Yeah, and I just have a hard time saying three losses the remainder of their schedule. And what's going to happen? Tennessee game's going to burn you.
No, I think the Indianapolis game, Josh, is the one that's ultimately going to burn us. I really do. I think that's the game because Eric Ebron just was shut down for the year. They're all-world tight end, got two ankle injuries right now.
He's having two surgeries.
Right.
They shut him down to get surgery on both of his ankles.
Both of his ankles. Oh,
that's rough.
Yeah, that sucks.
It feels like while you're in there, though, just clean up both.
You know, two-for-one deal type of thing. Yeah. Have you seen that commercial?
I think you get a discount, too, if that's the case.
Is that the case?
I believe so.
Have you seen that commercial? I think it's for AT&T where the guy's in the hospital bed and the nurse is there. They go, what do you know about Dr. So-and-so? She goes, oh, he's okay. And then the doctor walks in. Yeah. Guess who just got reinstated? Hey, I'll see you in there. It'll be fine. Like, and then he walks out. I'm like, that guy is great in that commercial. He's a great actor in that commercial. Yeah, we'll see you in there. And he walks out. I think it's for AT&T, right? That's kind of where Eric Ebron is right now, getting the two ankles repaired. But I think ultimately that Colts game is going to be the loss that we look back on because, number one, it was home. You got to win that game at home against the Indianapolis Colts. And you let, you know, Justin Houston kind of have a revenge game and took you out of what you were doing. Like, to me, the Indianapolis Colts game is going to be the one we look back on because that was the one that kind of laid the groundwork for everything this year because the Houston Texans beat them the following week. Then they obviously struggled, you know, against the Vikings and ultimately won, but still struggled in that game to hold off and win. You saw the Packers beat them. You saw the Titans beat them. I think the blueprint was put out that week against the Indianapolis Colts. And in my opinion right now, they're the 8th seed, and I know Tennessee's the 9th seed, but they both have 6-5 records. I feel like the Colts are fading and the Titans are rising in this situation. And that's why, for me, when I look back at what game really cost you the most, the one that you would love to have back, in my opinion, is the one against the Indianapolis Colts because I think that's the one that kind of set the tone for where we are right now in this season. And had the Chiefs beaten the Colts that day, I think it's a completely different season than it is right now. So for me, Indy is that game that I look back at and go, ah. Oh.
I can understand that. I feel like they blew the Tennessee one more.
Oh, they blew it. No question they blew that game.
That was a bad a bad woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Right. But
you can maybe say that about the Colts game, too.
I don't know that they blew the Colts game. They blew the Titans game.
They blew
game.
The Titans game. That's one. That's why that one stings more to me.
Yeah, like, they blew
like,
that game.
Like, boy, that should have been a W, and you shouldn't have to be rooting now for three Ravens losses.
Right. But right? If they beat the Colts, maybe the Texans don't get the blueprint on how to beat the Chiefs and, you know, and the Packers.
You're messing with the space-time continuum.
I am,
here,
what, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got you. That makes sense. Big finish. He's having too much fun to come back.
Who?
Gronk.
Oh.
I was firmly in the camp of Gronk is coming back at some point in time. About 2 weeks ago, I firmly made the switch. Nope, not happening. Gronk's not coming back. Teased his last Tuesday announcement. I'm like, it's not to come back, and it wasn't.
Right.
So hold the party.
You thought it was to celebrate CBD or
now
something.
Now he's found just other ways to have fun. And he's having fun with Fox, right? They put him in this best situation where he just gets to go and be Gronk for a bit. Doesn't have to get beat up. Doesn't have to go through practice. He's not coming back this year. Now maybe he comes back in the future, but not this year. He's pretty adamant about that. And then you get to have him kind of unfiltered, just saying what's on the top of his mind, like getting after Jerry Jones.
I would go with both. The opposing defenses are both fantastic. But when there's weather conditions like this, great, good defenses need to become great. And let me tell you, it's a vantage Patriots anytime there's weather. You want to know why? The Patriots practice in any conditions. If it's rain, if it's snow, if it's 100 degrees, if it's 4 degrees, it does not matter. Coach Belichick is making you go out on that practice field, and he's making you show up on time, even if there's a blizzard at 7 a.m. And let me tell you this. If there's a little rain in Dallas, a little snow in Dallas, Jerry Jones comes down and says, oh, do you guys want to practice in the bubble today? Well, that's why it's advantage Patriots, and that's why they're kicking butt today versus the Dallas Easy. Cowboys.
Good job. We're breaking you in. Nice job.
I'm not following that.
Yes.
I feel for everybody else on that panel, by the way, because they're just looking over at Gronk and like they know like the guy's a clown. He's not. He's just coming in here.
He's a young Terry Bradshaw.
He's just coming in here and speaking. He's like, they're all going, damn, this guy's taking all of our jobs.
He's a young Terry
Everybody's
Bradshaw.
Got their laptops open and some notes in front of them. Gronk's just Gronk.
And wearing a turtleneck and an ill-fitting
Gronk's
suit.
Gronk's got no prep. He just walks into the studio, and the other five guys or whatever that are sitting at the desk are like, oh, man, this guy again? And Gronk just comes and steals the show. But he's like, hey, Patriots win. Why? Because they prepare in every condition. They didn't care that it was raining cats and dogs yesterday in Boston.
Right.
They go through this every day of the week.
This is nothing new. This isn't a big deal for them because they prepare for every detail, and that's why they win. So Gronk's coming back, right?
Brady set the record straight on quite a few things. Gronk, here's your chance to set the record straight. He sounds like he misses you. If Brady picks up the phone and says, Gronk, brother, I need you just down the stretch and for the playoffs, what do you say?
You know, I would tell him I love the guy, which I do. He set an example for me throughout my whole career, and there's many life lessons that not just Tom, but the whole organization has taught me to bring to the next level. The way that Tom just prepares, the way that how...
Are you going back?
No, no. I'm just saying, no, I'm not. But okay. I'm saying I appreciate
like
everything
lawyer.
He's done.
Okay. Yeah.
And how he has helped me out to
so
where I am now.
Soon as
but
you
no, I'm not going back.
Right.
Hey, I was going right. around.
As soon as you put okay. that turtleneck on, you're done.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, man.
Exactly.
As soon as you realize that your body feels good on a Sunday, on a Monday, and a Tuesday, and a Wednesday, you're not being blamed for losing, then you're done.
Hey, Gronk, are you going back or not? This is TV. Spit it out.
And he's not.
No,
and he's having
not.
Too much fun to go back. Perfect example of that yesterday on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
There's your big finish. Bink is sitting in. It's going to be a week of Bink.
A week
various,
of Bink?
Various times he'll be popping up on your dial. But Jay Binkley's in next on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.